ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, live out here at Tupelo's as we prepare for Monday Night Football. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you're up on the north side and you're looking for a place to come and watch the Texans cover the spread tonight, Tupelo's is your place. 2907 Rayford Road. Come on out here. And still some tables available right now. So if you're getting off work, get your butt in the car. Come on out. Enjoy the show. Enjoy all the really cool people working here. And enjoy some football tonight. All right.
God, I just found this. There's been so many like memes and stuff going around the internet of the Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey thing.
Yeah.
You know that video that it's got Hitler talking to the people, like something bad will happen, and Hitler hates it, and he talks to all the people. He gets really angry about it.
Yeah.
Hitler watches Ronda Rousey get knocked out by Holly Holm. And I just watched the first 10 seconds, and he says, as soon as Ronda catches up to her, Holly's a dead woman. And then, like, you could just tell it's going to be gold, so I can't wait. I can't wait till the next break now. Super excited.
All right, let's go through yesterday's NFL action and all the games, and we'll start off with the Lions and the Packers. Lions go in and beat the Packers 18-16.
You worried about the Packers yet?
A little bit.
Listen, you lose to a couple of good teams, and it's okay. This is not a good team they just lost to. This is one of the worst teams in the league, in the Lions. And
a team that never wins in Green Bay, even when they're good.
Yeah, it really took them. Fred, you know the last time that they won in Green Bay? You know what grade I was in? Fourth grade.
Wow.
Fourth grade.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
Because
you're not as young as you were
when
we first started this show. You're kind of turned into a semi-old guy.
But this is a that was a game that really the only reason it was even close at the end is because a dropped onside kick.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it took a lot for the Packers to even make it a game. And I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm just selling out like, oh, the Packers are just not a good team anymore, because I don't think that's the case.
They're not playing well. They're kind of going.
There's something definitely wrong. And
yeah, I don't think just saying relax is going to fix this one.
They go from 6 and you know, the other thing is their other two losses were on the road. This is a home loss to the worst team in the league.
Yeah, that's the one that should raise a few red flags. I mean, the other losses, there's no embarrassment.
Denver, at Carolina?
Yeah, there's no embarrassment to those.
All right.
And they were in the Carolina game. At the end, they had a chance to come back and win that.
And now they play. Now they play at Minnesota, who happens to be the first place team in the division now.
And Minnesota's playing pretty well.
Yep.
It was a good win for them yesterday.
Very good win for them. Minnesota playing. I keep saying Minnesota's not as good as their record. I might be wrong. Minnesota's impressive.
Well, they're another team that keeps getting better each week. Buccaneers beat the Cowboys 10-6. What an ugly, ugly game that was.
Terrible.
And I think at this point, I want to say they're completely dead.
They're dead, Fred. So let's stop. Listen. If it wasn't Dallas,
except
every other team, we'd say, oh, they're dead.
Except for the fact that the Giants lost.
Tennessee dead?
Yes, Tennessee's dead.
Okay, they're in the same position. They're dead.
Well, but Tennessee's not going to have Tony Romo walking.
Tony Romo's not Jesus Christ. He's still just a football player. Nothing's going to save this. It's a bad team.
How dare you insult Tony Romo?
It's just not a good team.
How dare you? No, they're not a good team. But the thing is, all of these games they've lost, they've had a chance to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they would have won at least a couple of them with him there. Now, the problem is they're going to have to win them all when he comes back.
That's what I'm saying. That's not who Tony Romo is. He's not the guy who's going to come in and everything they were losing would have been wins if Tony Romo would have been there.
But do you look at the Giants and Eagles and say, oh, yeah, one of those teams is going to run away?
No. I do look at the Giants, and the Giants find a way to they find a way to lose games.
Yeah.
But they're still so much better than the Cowboys, the Giants are. They're so much better.
Well, we talk body of work. When you look at them, every one of their losses has been like yesterday.
It's been heartbreaking.
Yeah. And at some point, that turns around. You start, they'll start going your way.
You know, if you'd won this game against Tampa, you would have been able to say, well,
two games back.
During that stretch, going into yesterday, they'd lost six straight. The Falcons, that's not a terrible loss. At the Saints, not great, but you know what? It's on the road, a tough place to play. Patriots at the Giants, Seahawks, Eagles. There's not really an embarrassing loss on
no,
there.
No, yesterday's was embarrassing.
You just lost to the Bucs, man. You're not good. Let's stop with the Cowboys still make the playoffs. They won the first two games. You know what they are right now? They're the 2012 Texans that started out 2-0. And it was like, oh, they're good. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, they're 2-7. And we're like, well, you know, one thing starts clicking, they can get back to those winning ways. Maybe, you know. No, they're just bad. It's just a bad team.
All right. I'll declare them dead.
Okay, thanks.
Does that make you happy?
It makes me happy. We don't need to waste time talking about what could happen for the Cowboys to make the playoffs. That's a total waste of time.
It's kind of fun, though. All right, Panthers roll.
If the Cowboys make the playoffs, I'll get a Cowboys tattoo. How about that?
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Do something else, because that's something forever, okay? Getting pepper sprayed or tased or eating crow, that eventually goes away.
All right, fine.
But could you imagine having to walk around with a Cowboys tattoo?
No, that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah. So come up with something else. Panthers going to beat the Titans 27-10 and just continue to roll right along. Cam Newton had a very effective day, and Titans just aren't very good. It's yeah, I know they look good against the Saints,
yeah.
But who doesn't?
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and I just think that's a bad football team that responded well to a coaching change for 1 week, which we see all the time, and then they revert to what they are. Panthers are just quietly going about their business and taking care of the teams they're supposed to.
Yeah, I'm still not sold that the Panthers are some kind of great team, but they don't let you pass the ball around, and the Titans aren't good enough running the ball that they could take advantage of what you could take advantage of against the Panthers. And,
right.
You know, the Panthers ran the ball okay, and you know, they just didn't have anything for them. Panthers are just a better team. I still think if you tell me who's the best team in the NFC, I'll still tell you Arizona is better than Carolina. And
I think I would agree with that.
The records don't tell you that. I'd still if the Packers and Panthers played a playoff game, I'd still assume the Packers would win.
Yeah, I agree.
But the Panthers are what they are. They're 9-0, you know, and this was a win on the road in the NFL. They're 4-0 on the road. Tennessee 0-5 at home.
Yeah, a relatively easy win on the road.
Yeah,
that's not
really competitive. The first half was competitive. The second half, no.
But we see that a lot in the NFL with bad teams. They hang around for a half, and then second half, when the adjustments are made, they get blown out. Bears 37, Rams 13. Don't look
my
now.
Boy Jay Cutler, huh?
Yeah. How about
what do you
Jay
think
Cutler?
Of that dude?
Thought he had a good game.
Okay, you're not going to say anything nicer about him?
No.
Jeremy Langford filling in nicely for Matt Forte, but listen, I think when this team plays some kind of defense, and yesterday they did finally, the Bears are pretty solid. You know, they've got a lot going on for them offensively. Jay Cutler can win you some games. I don't know if he can win you, you know, important games, but Jay Cutler right now is playing at a much higher level than most people would give him credit for. And
you know what? He has not been the problem this year.
Not at all.
Lost. Last year, he was a big problem.
This dude is a 64% passer right now, over 64% passer. 13 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's not the problem.
Well, guess what? Guess who is apparently the problem for the Rams? Nick Foles, because
shocker.
Guess who's going to be starting this week, according to Ian Rappaport?
Oh, he's benched, huh?
It's Case Keenum time again.
Good luck.
There you go.
Listen, that just lets you know where the Rams are. The Rams had high expectations coming in.
They're still 4-5. They're still not totally dead in the wild card there, but I don't know if that's your answer.
That team is so fascinating because the Rams have beat the Seahawks and the Cardinals this year.
When they're playing well on defense, they're – But they're so hit and miss. I mean, they have games where they can't stop anybody, and And when those have happened, they've been bad.
But now they've lost to the Redskins and the Bears. Yeah. So what can you think of them? I mean, their other two wins are over the 49ers and Browns, which you have to win those games.
Yeah,
so
Case Keenum will solve everything for them.
I tend to
the greatest backup quarterback in the history of the world. All he needs is a chance, AJ.
All he needs to do is hand the ball to Todd Gurley every time.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. They're playing Baltimore next week, and that's a secondary that can be had. We'll see if Case Keenum can figure it out. There's not, you know, his weapons are fairly limited to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it's really that Nick Foles isn't very good as much as they just don't have a lot to throw the ball to.
I think it's a combo.
Yeah. The Redskins go in and just hammer the Saints. The best part about this was I started Kirk Cousins in FanDuel.
Good call.
And I also bet the over. So I was very happy with that result. And yeah, the Saints are just—they're a mess, and we'll find out if. I think we'll find out if they actually do fire Rob Ryan, but it's—you got to do something, man. They can't stop anybody. It's just—it's pathetic.
Well, it can't stop anybody, and they couldn't score. You know, that's the other thing. If you can't score on the Redskins, I don't know what you're going to do.
Who are you going to score on?
Yeah, they score 14 points in that game, and they scored them all in the first half. The second half, they were just not to be found. And typically, when you think of the Saints, you think of a team that. If they're down a couple touchdowns, it's not that big of a deal. It was 27-14 at half. Like, oh, if anybody can get back in it, the Saints, because they just chucked the ball around. And Drew Brees just was a nothing in the second half. He was terrible.
And Kirk Cousins, before you start saying, oh, the guy can play, I'll say the same thing.
No, he can't.
I did last week when Mariota did it.
No.
It's the Saints defense.
Kirk Cousins still a bad player.
20 of 25 for 324 and 4 TDs. That's pretty sick.
Yep.
Dolphins go in and beat the Eagles. This is a game that I know we both like the Dolphins to cover in. And, you know, Sam Bradford gets hurt. You wind up with Mark Sanchez playing. And
although Sam Bradford wasn't great to begin with either. That's a guy. When you look at those numbers, you say 19 to 25. Wow. I mean, they're just not throwing the ball down the field. They're not taking any risks. And they're not running the ball nearly effectively enough for Sam Bradford to play that way. And then Mark Sanchez comes in and throws a bad pick. That's a tough loss, but Sam Bradford got lucky because he fumbled the ball like three different times.
Yeah,
and the Eagles were able to fall on it. I mean, anybody else fumbles the ball three times, they're losing that thing three times or two times. But he just had a lucky day. But at the end of the day, he got hurt, and the Dolphins just played better. And I don't know if the Eagles. I'm not sure how much longer they're going to tolerate this.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're still in it. They don't lose any ground because the Giants end up losing, but it's getting tougher to swallow.
All right, we'll get to the rest of the games when we come back. But right now I need to tell you about Houston Can Cars for Kids. And you've heard me talk about Houston Can Academy, which it's such a great place, what they do over there. They get kids who have had to drop out of school for a variety of reasons. Some of them had to get jobs to support their families. Some of them were in a bad family situation. They had to drop out of school. Well, Houston Can Academy gives them a second chance. They work around their schedule. They help these kids so that they can graduate. And some of the kids that come out of there are just doing fantastic things, and they've been doing this for years. They change lives every day. And that makes us a better community. It really does. What they need your money for is to help these students. Sometimes they need glasses. Sometimes they need a meal. Sometimes they need transportation. Well, that's what Houston Can Academy does for them. With your donation, when you donate your vehicle, that's where the money goes. So that's why more than ever they need your help. They'll come tow your vehicle away absolutely free of charge, and your donation is tax deductible. They'll take care of all the paperwork. And if you donate today, you're going to receive a $50 Visa gift card for free. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, it's just their way of saying thank you. So basically, if you've got something sitting out in your yard or sitting in your garage, or out front of the house and you're not driving it anymore, donate it because they'll be able to fix it up. They'll come and take care of it, man. They'll tow it. They do everything. It's easy. It's fast, convenient, and you're doing a great thing. You're helping out some kids. You're going to change some lives just by getting rid of that vehicle in your car, in your yard. Give them a call right now, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And donate your vehicle today. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN out here at Tupelo's. Come join us. Texter asked, did you guys see John Oliver's piece on Daily Fantasy Leagues? I haven't had a chance to watch it yet because I was watching football last night, so I've got to get caught up on my Sunday night stuff, but I'll probably watch it in the morning. All right, a few other games that we needed to get to for you. The Steelers beat the Browns 30-9, and two takeaways from this. The Browns actually were able to move the ball really well, and Johnny Manziel had a pretty good game. And
Fred,
you look at the score and you think, eh?
The way you talk about the Saints defense, that's how I feel about the Steelers defense. I feel like they're bordering on that right now.
Yeah, the difference is they make a few plays and they get a few sacks and force a fumble here and there,
yeah.
And that's why they're able to do what they do. But Steelers win. Imagine, though, if you're the Browns and you knock out a starting quarterback in Landry Jones, and now you got to deal with Ben Roethlisberger. That was I found that kind of strange that he was too hurt to play unless they really needed him, and then he looked fine.
Well, I would be mad, and this is one of the handful of games I didn't bet on this week. If I would have bet, I would have bet on the Browns.
Yeah.
And I would have been so mad that I bet on the Browns thinking Landry Jones is the quarterback for the Steelers, and I didn't get the 10 points that I should have gotten
right.
Otherwise. And then Ben Roethlisberger comes out, and he didn't look like he missed a beat. He looked completely healthy and completely dominant and just had his way with that Browns defense.
Jack,
but, yeah, kudos to John Football, who played pretty well. He turned the ball over a couple times, fumble and a pick, but he was all right.
And he also took some bad sacks.
Six sacks.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the thing.
But can't do that.
No, but he at least
and
did.
You shouldn't be getting sacked six times behind that offensive line.
No, that's a lot on the quarterback.
When you got Joe Thomas and Alex Mack, people, you know,
yeah, and
they're gonna. You should be able to stand up.
We were when we were up for the up for whatever thing yesterday. I was watching a lot of that game, and he was just it was him kind of rolling into the pressure and not reading things very well.
It's difficult to protect a passer who moves around a lot, and it's one thing once a play breaks down,
and once he runs toward pressure, that's not a good thing either. But overall, though, I mean, I think he had a pretty solid game and much better than you would think considering the score. Jaguars beat the Ravens 22-20. We talked about this a little bit the first hour. Apparently that's a field goal that never should have been allowed to happen.
Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer, but the way the Ravens season has gone. And the reality is the Ravens, the best thing for them at this point is to lose that game. They're 2-7. They're not going to make the playoffs.
They get a high draft pick.
Helps you with your draft situation. Joe Flacco turned the ball over a couple times, and he didn't play great. They couldn't really get the running game going yesterday. Well, I guess they could. They ran okay for as far as their average, but they didn't run with any consistency is what I should say. And they just don't have weapons right now. You know, with Steve Smith out, that was their one real passing threat. And Kamar Aiken played okay. Chris Givens actually played okay. But they don't have top-tier outside talent at this point.
You still should have enough to beat the Jaguars at home.
You should.
I do think the Jaguars are
they're getting better.
They're an
man.
Improving team. Vikings beat the Raiders 30-14. Adrian Peterson is just going off these days. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a grown man. He had a really good day, and the Vikings defense, which is a little bit underrated, I think, had a good day, and they turned Derek Carr over a couple times yesterday, and that's one thing he's kind of been avoiding most of this season is turnovers. And for a guy who throws the ball 40-plus times a game, usually those guys turn it over.
Yeah.
Derek Carr really hadn't, and that's what was so impressive. They got him a couple times yesterday, and the Vikings end up running away with it because they just kept the ball. 8 yards per carry, Minnesota running backs.
Amazing. Patriots finally beat the Giants 27-26. And
the Giants are the worst fourth-quarter team
they
I've
are.
Ever seen.
Just and that they actually did – I thought Eli kind of did the right thing there at the end by sliding in bounds when it was clear, you know, don't throw an interception. If you throw the ball away, you're going to stop the clock. Try to get some time off, which they did, but they left too much time for Brady to get down the field. And I thought it was a fun game to watch the last 5 minutes of, but Patriots just get it done. And the Giants outplayed them yesterday. They should have won the football game.
Yeah, they outplayed them, didn't outcoach them. And at the end of the day, that matters.
And that happens a lot when you're playing the Patriots.
Look at every loss the Giants have. Every loss the Giants have, you can point to some kind of fourth quarter clock mismanagement. And, you know, I mean, the Giants are in first place, so it's hard to say they should fire Tom Coughlin. And Tom Coughlin's got Super Bowl wins. And, you know, they're not going to. But it's like, man, what could they be if they just had some kind of decent strategy
in the
fourth quarter.
They knew what they were doing
yeah.
in the last couple minutes of a game, which It's baffling sometimes.
Well, Tom Coughlin, he always has the face where he looks surprised that it's happening. Dude, that's your calls.
The Chiefs go in and beat the Broncos 29-13. We talked a little bit about this first hour. Peyton Manning, terrible. I mean, no way
awful.
Around it. Then he gets hurt. He's out. I think you're starting to see, and I know Houston fans who remember the Gary Kubiak, Wade Phillips era fondly, you could see this team going downhill fast. I think, for one thing, teams have figured out what Wade Phillips is doing a little bit, and he's not a flexible guy who's going to change up a lot. So teams are taking advantage of that, and you've got no offense right now. You can't run the ball, and Peyton Manning can't pass, and now you're going with Brock Osweiler. I'd be very concerned if I were a Broncos fan moving forward. Even
no question.
Now, I think it's 7-2. It's going to be hard not to win that division.
Yeah.
But I think,
especially with the Raiders losing this week, that was the one team. I mean, they would have been 5-4 and at least, you know, two games out. That's not a lot.
Yeah, you still got a 3-game lead over both the Chiefs and the Raiders. And I think both those teams are playing well enough to get to 7 or 8 wins. But the Broncos are already at 7. So.
Yeah.
I that's the thing. I think they probably already have the division locked up. But, boy, I don't see them doing much. And then, finally, Cardinals beat the Seahawks 39-32.
That was a really fun game to watch.
It was.
You know, we've had some stinker primetime games. That was actually a really good game up until the end. And the Seahawks have lost a step, man. That's not the same team that they've been the last couple of years. And I really think Arizona's good.
Yeah.
But Russell Wilson, I'm just – I don't know what the deal is with that guy. He's not the same player. Defensively, they're not the same as they were. They're just they're a good team, but they're nowhere near the great team that they've been for the last several years.
No, and I keep thinking that, they'll be fine. They'll turn it on. They'll finish 10-6.
I don't think so.
I really don't know that that's going to happen. I'm not – and we see this with a lot of teams, AJ. Guys start getting paid. When you've got a really good team like that, their performance starts going down a little bit. You know, everybody's become big stars because they've been to 2 straight Super Bowls. It's kind of a natural thing sometimes, and at some point, that's the kind of thing that will bite you. And hopefully, in their case, I still think they can turn it around enough to be trouble in the playoffs. But at this point, I'm just kind of basing it on, I think they can do it.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel confident they will. All right, there you go. That's your NFL. Interesting day. It was one of those days that going in, we were joking about how bad the games looked on paper. It turned out to be a lot more
interesting, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know that it was necessarily a great day of football, but it was certainly interesting.
Caleb says, what do y'all think of the Browns' game plan of handing the ball off to a running back 10 times? Full disclosure, Johnny fan. Listen, the way to beat the Steelers is to throw the ball on them, but 10 times is not very much, for sure. 10 carries for their two backs.
Yeah.
But, They got into a hole early. They had to throw the ball, and it was working. So, of course, they wanted to keep throwing it.
Yeah, I think that's – a lot of times that's always a function of how the game flow goes. And in that case, I think, they did what they had to do and just couldn't get in the end zone.
Yep.
They had problems in the red zone. They had problems – they moved the ball up and down the field all day long. All right, very quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Edgar said, going on what you said about the Seahawks, is that why the Pats cut people before they have to pay them? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
Because the Pats are confident in their ability to find talent before it gets expensive. And really, if there's any other team that should be, it's the Seahawks.
Yeah, because they do a great job of finding guys.
But it takes a lot of balls to let go of a really good player.
Yeah.
To let him walk away,
Richard,
and assume
Seymour,
that you can find someone
Ty
else.
Law, Asante Samuel.
And I understand. It's very
Darrell Revis last year.
Yep. It's very difficult to do, but that's why they're so successful, because they trust that they're going to find someone else who they can plug in and fill that role. And, I don't get me wrong. I think there are some guys on that team that they were smart to pay. I think they're smart to pay Earl Thomas. I think they're smart to pay Richard Sherman. But there are some guys that I thought it wasn't in their best interest to pay. And listen, I'm not an NFL GM. I just – I've got my opinions, and they mean about nothing. But, you know, the Seahawks help make me look good when I'm right.
Let's bring in someone who played and who was has seen a lot of that with teams that have cut guys before they got too expensive or traded them. Stanford Rout, former Raider, former UH cornerback, and you can follow him on Twitter at SRout26 with two T's. Stanford, how's it going today, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I'm flying high, and you know it, Fred.
Yeah, that was well, let's talk about that game first, because that was and we've seen a lot of comebacks over the years out of UH. I mean, the Louisiana Tech game with Case Keenum comes to mind, last year's bowl game. But that was pretty amazing, especially considering what was on the line. Where would you rank that as comebacks go?
Man, I have not seen a game that electric at U of H in, I don't think, ever. I think Tom Herman's doing a great job with those guys. It was 34-14 early fourth quarter, and I pretty much thought the game was in the bag. You know, 20-point lead, fourth quarter. All offense has to do is just kind of, just you know, ride the clock out till the game ends. And those boys, they rallied, they came together, they made plays. Potsma, I like him. Farrow, I like him. And they made it happen, and it was in front of a great crowd, and that was just so big for the city, the community, Third Ward, the school, all of that.
And what was really impressive about it is a guy who has played Euro position very well, wasn't out there yesterday, and William Jackson. He's just been fantastic for them all year. And against a guy like Paxton Lynch, that's a big loss, but they managed to get it done.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was actually looking forward to watching him play in the game. And then when I was on the sidelines, I saw that, you know, he had the knee brace on. So I figured that they were probably just going to keep him for emergency purposes. But the defense, they stepped up. They made plays when they needed to. And they just made sure to outlast the Tigers. And fortunately, it came out for them victorious. And I feel that they should run the table for the rest of the season. I know they got Navy coming up. They got UConn this week. And I think that the sky's the limit for them.
Yeah, and what I think is really cool is I went online to see how many tickets were left for Navy, and it's basically just very top-level stuff. So if you don't have tickets for that, that's it's good to see, man. It's been too long since I've had something to get excited about over there. Seriously. Let's talk about tonight. Is there any reason to get excited tonight about the Texans as they take on the undefeated Bengals?
Absolutely.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, no. Okay, hold on. Here we go, guys. Here we go. Fred, AJ, I don't know where I don't know where you guys are from. I don't. But let me just ask y'all just like this. Growing up, you mean to tell me that there wasn't a kid that you know of? It may have been one of y'all. I don't know. That there wasn't a kid who you always used to see kind of get picked on, kind of get bullied a little bit, whether it was in the old neighborhood or at school, whether it's middle school or high school. Do either one of y'all remember somebody like that growing up from where you grew up from?
Of course.
Okay, exactly. Now, let's say that guy right now, he goes off to college, gets a great job. Now, all of a sudden, he's the big man in the city or in the old neighborhood when he comes back. You know, got a nice car, great job. Now, maybe he's even got a few more girls chasing after him. And when you see that guy, you still see who whenever you look at him? The same old guy from the neighborhood, correct?
Of course.
Exactly. That's how the Texans.
Hard to shake.
That's how the Texans see Andy Dalton. Cincinnati's balling right now. Andy Dalton's playing at a MVP level. We all know that. They're balling. They're undefeated. They're doing their thing. But in that Texans locker room, the guys like Jay Joe, J.J. Watt, Cushing, guys like that, they still see the same quarterback that they were able to beat 2 years in a row, wild card round of the playoffs, back in 2011, 2012. So that's the point I'm really trying to make. Yes, it's still something to be.
But is that realistic? Is it realistic to see that guy that you saw back in the day? Because now Andy Dalton's a guy driving around in the fancy car, banging the hot chicks with a really good job. And, you know, you're the guy who was the big star in high school and who's now kind of a big scrub.
Uh-huh. I mean, and you weigh about 400 pounds.
Yeah, maybe the tides have just turned, and you can look at him that way all you want. But the reality is you're the loser, and Andy Dalton is a winner in life right now.
Absolutely. But the point, what I was trying to say is what the guy getting bullied or a guy getting picked on, nobody really respecting him. If you bump into that guy in the back of an alley, back at your old high school reunion, you still know, yeah, great job. Like you said, banging all the hot chicks, riding around in the fancy car. But you still know that taking all of that away, all of that materialistic away, he's still the same guy that
he I'll say this, though.
Used to get picked on back in high school.
George St. Pierre talks about how he always got picked on when he was young, and that's why he took up martial arts and he turned into one of the best fighters in the world. Mm-hmm. And chances are good if someone who picked on GSP back in high school found him in a back alley and thought that they could still punk him out, they'd be in for a rude awakening.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. definitely. But I tell you this, somebody who also was involved in martial arts growing up, maybe from his old neighborhood, they wouldn't be afraid of him because they know that, hey, you win, you got some training, you did all this, you did all that, I get that. But I got the same training you got, and I still remember you from back then. And I know somewhere inside of you is that same kid that I used to punk back in high school.
Well, at least you're trying to give Texans fans some hope. So.
You're giving them hope, Mike.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Now, I didn't say that the Texans are guaranteed to win. I'm just simply saying that in football, even in basketball, baseball, all sports, there's still that human factor where, yes, they're doing great, they're winning, all of that, but we still feel like we know that guy. And that's one of the main reasons why the New England Patriots used to always smack the Indianapolis Colts back in Peyton Manning's early years, the 01, 02, 03. That's why, because Peyton would set all those records. He set the touchdown passing record for a single season back in, I believe, in 04. New England didn't care. They had Ty Law, Tyrone Poole, and McGinnis, Seymour, all of those boys, because they still know that, hey, man, we know who you really are, and we know that we can smack you around.
Let me ask you one more before we let you go, because I thought it was interesting that Bill O'Brien admitted to his team in a meeting that he made a mistake by benching Brian Hoyer. Have you ever had a coach basically come into a team meeting and say, you know what, I made a mistake on this? And as a player, do you respect that, or do you have kind of a feeling like, wait a minute, how can I trust this guy?
You respect it because he's man enough to actually admit his mistakes. But now you're questioning his confidence and his credibility because, okay, you made a mistake. We all make mistakes. I mean, every game there's a mistake made, interception being thrown, a missed tackle out there, somebody getting beat on a touchdown, a fumble, all of that. So mistakes happen, but it makes you question, okay, why did you make that mistake? Did you go with Hoyer because you like him better? Did you go with him because you think Mallett was just the type of guy that you really, really don't want starting, leading your football team for your own personal reasons? Because that type of stuff does happen in sports, just like in the business world or in the corporate world. So, yeah, I appreciate you being honest, coming forward, being a man, standing on it. But now I question your confidence because going forward, how do I know that you're not going to make another mistake?
Well, listen, it's also easy to say I made a mistake when the guy that you put in at quarterback is no longer on the team.
Absolutely.
And there's no thoughts of putting him back in at some point.
Absolutely. And just like when I was talking just on air just the other day, it's blame game season going on in the NFL right now. It's blame game season. Whenever a team is losing and it appears that the playoffs are not in the cards, that's when the blame game season starts, because coaches will go, they'll take the brunt, they'll take the blame, they'll do all of that Sunday after the game, they'll do it all on Monday during the press conference. But you best believe, up there talking to that GM, the president, the owner, coaches are singing like canaries, and they are stabbing other players in the back because they're not about to sit up here and get fired when they can go ahead and shoot somebody else, figuratively speaking, not literally. But it's blame game season. The Lions, they go ahead, they get rid of the president and the GM, Mayhew. You got the Texans, they got rid of Mallett after a game where they got blown out, and Mallett didn't even see the field that game. And I can name several other reasons. So it's definitely blame game season going on. I just saw Case Keenum. He's now going to be the starter for the St. Louis Rams. They benched Nick Foles. It's blame game season. Whenever teams are not winning in this league, and it appears the playoffs is already a far gone conclusion, that's when blame game season starts. That's when you see guys getting released, surprisingly, or you see other players getting benched, stuff like that. It happens. It's something that not a lot of people want to talk about, but trust me, it definitely happens in this league.
All right, that's Stanford Route. You can hear him with us every Monday. You can also hear him on Hustle Town with my buddies Craig Shelton and Jason Braddock.
Oh, he's stepping out on us, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
never that. Never that.
Okay.
You know I'm here for you guys.
Yeah, all I know is you got Tom Herman on their show. I don't want to say anything.
Damn.
Okay, hold on. Let me go ahead and set the record straight on that. They asked me to see if I could get Coach Herman on the show. I was up at U of H that Friday. It was the Friday of homecoming week. I believe they were playing, I think it was Cincinnati, I think. I was up there, and I was actually up there to get tickets for the game this past Saturday against Memphis, and they introduced me to Coach Herman. That's how all that came about, and I remember Craig told me, hey, Stan, your assignment is to get Coach Herman on the show. I brought it up to Coach. He agreed with it. He was okay with it, and that's how all that came about. That I did not do that by any choice of mine. That was them requesting it. I followed with the request. If you guys would do the same thing, I will definitely do the same thing in return.
You know what? If you could still backpedal like that on the field, you'd still be playing.
Oh, you're kidding me, Fred.
Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
All right, man. You guys be good.
All right. Very quick break. We come back. We have the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the
Day. I also want to tell you where projections for UH are these days.
Yeah?
You know, the sky's the limit, like Stanford said. Some of these matchups that they are projected to have for bowl games now.
Yeah.
You're getting out there in the deep waters, my man.
Cool. Well, I'm looking
forward to see if you're excited about it or nervous about it.
Okay. Well, it depends on the team.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the two teams that are coming up most often.
All right. We'll do that. We'll do Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. And open your hearts to needy children in the Houston area this holiday season. And join Gal Media and Neighbors Emergency Center in our Toys for Tots drive. Drop off your unopened, unwrapped donations at any Neighbors Emergency Centers around town. Log on to NEC24.com to find a center near you. Was that good?
Yeah, that was perfect. Okay, a lot of people disagree with Stanford Rout about his analogy about Andy Dalton.
I would say I respectfully disagree as well, I give him a lot of credit for trying. So, yeah.
Listen, I'm not a big Andy Dalton fan, but Andy Dalton so far is having a better year than anybody on the Texans is having.
Well, and the other thing about the Bengals that's been really good this year is that offensive line.
Yep.
They've probably got the best offensive line in football this year, certainly one of them. And I think it's going to be a real challenge for the Texans to get pressure on them, which if they do, if they can play the way they did against the Titans, they have a puncher's chance. But I think that's asking a lot against the Bengals' offensive line as opposed to the Titans' offensive line.
And Carlos Correa, breaking news, Carlos Correa wins the American League Rookie of the Year.
We'll be saying that MVP thing in a couple of years.
But right now it's the Rookie of the Year. I think deserved. I think it was between two guys, him and Francisco Lindor.
And it was very close between those two guys. I'm looking at the vote totals. Carlos Correa, 17 first-place votes, 13 second-place votes. And Lindor had 13 first-place votes, 14 second-place votes, and two-thirds. So 124 for Correa, 109 for Lindor. And it was a big drop to the kid from the Twins in third, who had 23rd-place votes.
And listen, those two guys were both very good. I think Correa wins it because he did a little more with his bat. Yep. And he played on a better team. Lindor was, like, in all the advanced analytics, like wins above replacement, Lindor was a better player this year. Fantastic defensively. And Correa is good defensively. Lindor is next level defensively. And most people thought that what was going to hold him back from being a great player was his bat. But he had a pretty good season with the bat, too, on top of the glove. Yeah. So he surprised a lot of Correa, most people would have thought, would have run away with this. But I think it's a well-deserved award. And
I think he deserved it, and I think Dallas Keuchel deserves a Cy Young, and I think they'll get that one as well. And
I think that's a close one too, though.
Yeah, I think it's close, but I think –
And I think there's a lot more than just two candidates for that one.
Yeah, but I think there's two pretty clear candidates.
You think him and Price?
Yeah, I think it's between Keuchel and Price, and I think Keuchel wins it. Okay. And the one that I don't think they get is Manager of the Year, I think that's going to go to Jeff Bannister, but we shall see. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
So, AJ, I'm very proud of myself. I signed up for my first half marathon today.
Are you serious?
Will be taking place in February.
Maybe I should do it, too. I want to do a full marathon with zero training.
See, I have no interest in ever doing a full marathon. A half is as far as I ever want to go. But
how many miles is a half? 16 something? 16,
no, it's,
one?
It's 13.
13?
Yeah, you can do that.
I can do that.
Well.
Are you going to drink the day before?
No, I won't drink the entire week before.
What?
Yeah.
You're going to go a week without alcohol?
Yes.
That's not good for your body, Fred. It's good for a lot of people's bodies, not for yours.
No, for me, I know that it's
your body's going to be so angry.
But I guarantee you, the day I'm done with that thing, as soon as I get home, I'm gonna get an IV and just put it in my arm and straight Whitmire's.
Serious question: You're gonna run a half marathon. Are you going to smoke the week before your fight?
Nope. Nope.
No smoking.
Nope.
Okay.
No, nothing.
All right.
I'm going to take this seriously.
You better treat your body right, man, if you want to run like that.
I've got like 5 10Ks before that. So, but anyway.
Oh, that's plenty of time to fake a knee injury or ankle injury
exactly,
or something.
Exactly.
So, yeah, if you realize it's too hard.
Yeah, if I get to where there's no way.
Yeah. You know, but, 13 miles is a long way, man.
Yeah, but I'm fired up about it. But what I would not be fired up if what happens in this race happened at a half marathon in Bangkok, where apparently instead of the typical 13-mile run, the Bangkok Marathon accidentally extended its half marathon to 17 miles. They had a wrong turn that people took twice, which added 4 more miles to it. And obviously that didn't go over too well with a lot of the runners who had trained for, you know, shorter distance and couldn't figure out why they weren't finished yet. And people were dropping dead.
My time is feeling really slow. People died?
No, they were dropping dead. But people were dropping off, injured and sick and stuff because it was farther than they had meant to go. And I get if you're doing a 5K and you're off by a half a kilometer. But how the hell do you get 4 miles wrong on a half marathon?
I have no idea. That's bad.
Yeah, but that happened in Bangkok. So
Bangkok.
Just go on record as saying it's safe to say that no one got a personal best in that race.
No.
Unless that's the only one they've ever run.
Well, it's safe to say your next race, you should set your personal best, right?
Right. You got that extra 4 miles in.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I hope that doesn't happen to me because I will die. All right. That's your Zadok Jules Gym of the Day.
Oh. Play the song.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I told you before we went to break, I was going to let you know what's going on about the bowl game projections for UH. 2 bowls projected for UH. These assume they're going to win out, I suppose, because one says the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl and one says the Fiesta Bowl. I see a couple saying Houston versus Florida State.
That'd be cool.
And one Houston versus Baylor.
We'd rather play Florida State.
Okay. Why?
I think it's a better high-profile opponent.
Okay. But you don't think the Briles factor kind of makes it more interesting?
Yeah, although I think Florida State's just a more high-profile program. And no offense to Baylor, but if UH gets to a bowl like that, I want to see them against a Michigan or a Florida State or something like that. I mean, they've played Baylor. It's not that big a deal.
Right.
So, although I would say this, if they played Baylor, it'd be almost a guaranteed win considering Baylor's bowl record.
Well, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, does it feel like a lesser game than the Fiesta Bowl?
It does, even though technically it's not anymore.
It's not.
No, it's on the same level.
So you'd rather play
Actually, no. As a fan, I would rather they go to the Fiesta Bowl because I'd much rather travel to Arizona.
Than to Georgia?
Yeah.
Georgia?
Yeah. No offense to you, Georgia. It's just I have a lot of friends in that
area.
Are
you going?
If they go to the Fiesta Bowl, hell yes.
Okay.
Of course I am.
Yeah, I don't care enough about them to go that far.
I do. Plus, I got friends I can stay with.
You got hoes in different area codes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we roll, man. Yeah. Okay. Quick break. Another hour to go. A lot of good stuff left to get to. We'll break down this Texans-Bengals game from our perspective, maybe not the high school bully perspective. We'll see how that plays out. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.